Welcome to Radio Times. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan. Marty has the day off today. Are students at Pennsylvania's online charter schools learning as much and as well as their peers in brick and mortar schools? According to a new report from Stanford University, the answer is no. The Center for Research on Education Outcomes, or CREDO, found over 4 years of study that there's been remarkably weaker growth in reading and math among cyber charter students relative to young people in other public school settings. Also, online education costs public school districts just as much as traditional classroom learning. And some districts are pushing back, developing their own cyber curriculums. Do these pass muster? And there are reform efforts underway in Harrisburg, but some critics say they don't go far enough. If you'd like to join the conversation today, here's how. The number is 888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, or tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. With us today are Margaret Raymond, Director of Stanford University's Center for Research on Education Outcomes. Hello, Margaret.
Good morning.
And you prefer Mackie, correct?
I do. Thank you.
Okay. Susan Spickett is Executive Director of Education Voters of PA and is a proponent of traditional public schools. Welcome, Susan.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
And David Hardy is Executive Director of Excellent Schools PA, a school choice advocacy group. Welcome back, David.
Thank you.
So about a quarter of all Pennsylvania charter school students attend class online. That's about 33,000 kids across the state. Margaret, first to you. Let's distinguish between the performance of online and brick-and-mortar charters. The CREDO report has found the real issues seem to lie with virtual learning.
Yes, that's correct, Mary. What we found in our study is that if you look at how much learning a student in a particular setting has over a course of a year compared to the local district public schools they otherwise would have attended, what we find is that the students that attend school in an online charter setting are actually losing ground. They lose about a little more than half of their school year worth of learning. If 180 days is a typical school year, these students are losing 106 of those 180 days in reading, and they're losing 118 of those days in math.
Substantial. Let's get some reaction. David Hardy, what do you think of those numbers? The loss of learning, 180 days for, I guess, kids who go to brick and mortar schools. I think it's 100 and, what was it, Mackie, you said 106 days in reading, 118 in math?
That's correct. That's the loss.
Okay, those are based on averages of the school district that they came from, assuming that they would have made those gains had they stayed in their school district. I think that, you know, the numbers, I'm not here to defend or refute any of the numbers of the cyber schools, but I will say that we need to look at who's in the cyber schools and what would have been their prospects had they not gone to the cyber schools. You know, 30,000 parents had made a decision that they thought that they wanted to leave their local school district and try something else. Nobody's asking why. That's a lot of people, and we need to know why these people felt that they had to leave. The fact that they went to a place and didn't get what they wanted isn't automatically the blame of their destination. It could be a factor of what they came with. So we don't know.
Well,
and I think that's something we should know.
As an advocate of school choice, are you not hearing then from parents as to why they might move to an online alternative?
Oh, there's a lot of reasons, and they range from things like school safety to things like they need the time to do something else. They are a dancer or a musician or something else, and they need time for practice. There are kids who find a more expansive course of study in the online courses than they would in their local school district. So there's a lot of reasons why people do it. And I think that we need to find those reasons and find out from those parents why they do it. But I will say this. I sent my youngest son to an online school. And my wife and I were very worried about him in ninth grade. He had a few rocky years of school. We got him into an online school. It was one of those schools that had a joint program where he went. It had a fine arts program. He was interested in the arts. He went to the school 2 days a week, cyber 3 days a week. It worked out for him. He's graduated. He went on to art school, University of Arts. He graduated from there. And like all of his friends with arts degrees, he's working in IT.
That's a whole nother show.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd like to get to that in just a moment, you know, how the process works. But Susan Spicka, let's get you to weigh in here on choices that that families make. You know, David had just listed some. What is your perspective on the online charter choice?
Right. Like, I think there are families, as David said, like their students are high achievers. They might be athletes. Cyber charters work well for them. I also know where I live, there are a lot of homeschool parents, and rather than try to homeschool completely on their own, they use the cyber charter curriculum, and that really supports them. And so I think for some students, the cyber works. But then you get into these other areas where you have to start to say, is cyber school the correct option for those students? So there are students where traditional public school doesn't work. Maybe they're getting bullied. Maybe they've got problems with authority. Maybe they've got problems with, you know, the traditional school day. For some of those students, the cyber option might be okay. For some of them, it might not be okay. And then I think there's kind of like a little bit of a darker side that no one wants to talk about with these cyber schools. Sometimes parents don't want their kids in a public school for reasons like maybe they've been reported as potentially having abused their child. And so it's much better for those parents to remove their children from the public school, put them in a cyber school, keep them at home. I also think that there are students who are chronically truant, and parents have to go and deal with the legal ramifications of having a truant child. It's easier for some of those parents to say, well, I'm just going to put my kid in a cyber school. We're going to get a computer, home access to free internet at home, and we're going to do that. And so we don't have data about those types of situations, but I travel the state. I talk to a lot of families. I talk to a lot of superintendents, and these are not isolated incidents. So I think we have to talk about, like, who's going there? Why are they going there? And is a cyber charter school equipped to deal with the needs of some of the students who are being isolated in their homes?
Mackie Raymond of Stanford University, I'm not sure if there's that sort of data in the Credo report, but is there data that you are aware of which tries to determine who exactly is attending these online schools?
Well, so first off, I think the comments from both the other speakers have been really on point, that there's a lot of complexity to this whole topic, and the ability that we have to look at the data are a little bit limited. In this study particularly, all we could do was to look at how much progress they made. I will say that they were exactly matched to kids who looked exactly like them, including their past education performance. So if we had one of the students that somebody mentioned that had a rocky couple of years beforehand, they were matched with somebody who had those exact same experiences, because we see that in their test scores. Yeah. So we do think that we are giving a good comparison when we do the study. We did a national online charter school analysis several years ago that was accompanied by a survey of the online providers. And we did get some insight from that study that might help illuminate this conversation. We found that the typical online school provider expects the parent to be the prime educator and take not only the typical parent role of checking homework and making sure the kid's doing school, but also take a lead role in delivering instruction.
Is this where we get into trouble then, especially with subjects like math? Because math was really the huge issue, was it not, Mackie?
Well, the impacts were larger, more negative in math, but they were pretty negative in reading too. And so my point here is that we are empowering parents, which from a school choice perspective is great, and lots of reasons to think about that, but we may be asking of them things that they are not capable of providing. And so the other thing I would say is that I think the survey data that we saw before shows that the number of contact hours that the student has with anybody from the school is remarkably small. It's something in the neighborhood of 6 hours a week. So we're talking about really, really loose alignment between the school and the student and the family. And I worry about that because it's very easy for families to drift off of the intended path of an online curriculum or instructional program. And with that little sort of connection to the school, they can drift into lots of other areas, which may be interesting to them, but they don't align with what the Pennsylvania Department of Education has stated are the objectives of each grade's learning in public education.
David Hardy, before we go to the break, what was your experience at home with your son? Did you find that you needed to be a presence at times, almost as a teacher's aide to help him when it came to tougher curricula? And by the way, I also want to say, too, plenty of parents can help with math. I just know if my child came to me with a pre-algebra problem, I'd be stuck.
That's pretty much true with my son. But I can say that he took more ownership of it. And he was more in contact with the school himself about the things that he had problems with. But he took a lot more ownership of school. Before that, when he was going to a brick and mortar school, and we had him in private schools, we had him in charter schools, he'd been in a bunch of different schools. So it wasn't like he didn't have options. But when he was in schools like that, it seemed like we were more engaged with him in his work than we did when he got on the online in the online school and was motivated to do the work himself.
Yeah, but so many children are not as independent, and they do need somebody there. So it sounds as if, and Susan, weigh in if you will, that it's almost, it's better to have some sort of teacher presence, whether it's virtual, whether there's an opportunity during the week to access somebody if you're online so that you can successfully complete the curriculum.
Well, and I just think, I think we know that there is this epidemic of loneliness. We have mental health issues among young children, and I think that we have to question, are virtual schools the right place for students who are kind of experiencing these mental health issues where they are going to be naturally more isolated? They will not be around their peers. They're not going to be in school with a teacher who can check in with them every day. And very well-meaning, very loving parents might be working, or they might have other things that they have to be doing. And so I just think, is it okay that we have, tens of thousands of students at home every day without the supports that they would get when they would be in a school building? And that includes for students in poverty. That includes healthy meals, loving people, somebody who can just check in every day. So
right. Lots to unpack this hour. We've got Susan Spica of Education Voters PA, David Hardy of Excellent Schools PA, and Mackie Raymond, the director of the Credo Report from Stanford University, which talks about cyber education and the fact that there are some real challenges in reading and math among students as compared to their peers in more traditional brick and mortar schools. This is Radio Times. Stay with us. Welcome back to Radio Times on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan. Marty has the day off today. This hour, we are talking about a new study out of Stanford University, which shows that many students enrolled in Pennsylvania's cyber charter schools are not getting a quality education. As a matter of fact, the study found there has been remarkably weaker growth in reading and math when compared to young people in other public school settings. And this hour, we are joined by David Hardy of the Excellent Schools PA group, a school choice advocacy group. Susan Spica is executive director of Education Voters PA. And Mackie Raymond is director of the Center for Research on Education Outcomes at Stanford University, which produced this report. How are online students tested so that we know that they are hopefully achieving what the state curricula requires that they learn at the end of a school year?
Well, they have to take the state test that all public school students have to take from grades third through eighth grade. That's the PSSAs. In high school, it's the Keystone test.
So do they, and I'm assuming they go to a remote building. Do they go to the public school building? Is there, you're nodding your head, Susan. Probably just
they have testing centers, and okay. I think they find places to go.
And doing research for this show, I'd read of some parents who weren't, you know, all that concerned about test results because their children might not be comfortable with test taking. They're doing well in subjects, perhaps the parents feel, but the test taking, you know, does this hinder a child's chances to go to college down the road? And Mackie, weigh in if you like.
Sure. So there are lots and lots of things that these tests don't measure, so I'll stipulate that at the outcome. But they do, in fact, provide a fairly good indication of how well students are doing, particularly as related to the things that officially schools ought to ensure that their students learn. And those are important signals for the students themselves in terms of their ability to gain knowledge and to apply knowledge, because these tests have become more sophisticated over time. They don't just do rote memorization. But they also provide really important signals, as we use them for here, to what's happening in the schools that these students are attending. And so while you may not love the tests because they're not perfect, they are certainly adequate for the uses to which they are asked to perform today, and until we get something that's better, this is the best that we have.
And again, the Credo report has found that these students have experienced remarkably weaker growth in math. I'm thinking that for those kids who want to pursue a career in the STEM fields, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math, this is not good.
Well, you know, I think the professor said it before that the test doesn't measure everything. And here's another thing. I sent a lot of kids to college. I had a college preparatory high school, and over about 90% of our boys went to college, mostly to four-year colleges. Sent them to all 14 state colleges and colleges all across the country. Nobody, not even Penn State, asked what your state test scores were.
Really?
Nobody cares. Nobody, okay? Because they don't matter. SAT scores, grades, attendance, that matters. Those test scores don't matter. And the children know, especially the high school children, they know it.
Right. So I guess when we look at Pennsylvania's cyber charters and student achievement, test scores are one piece of it, but 11 out of 15 cyber charter schools were identified as comprehensive support and improvement schools for federal accountability. Mm-hmm. That was based not only on test scores, it was based on test scores and attendance and graduation rates. So these 11 cyber schools have been identified as among the 5% of the lowest performers in the state in terms of student achievement. And so not only are these students not doing well on their standardized tests, they're not graduating from cyber charter schools. And I guess I have an issue with the way that some of the cyber charter, the industry proponents are talking about test scores. We had like a little press conference in Harrisburg last week. Lively press conference. And so we had like a couple school board members. We had the Pennsylvania Association of Rural and Small Schools executive director there. And we just wanted to raise awareness of the Credo report. And then after that, there were two charter industry lobbyist spokespeople who were there. And one of them said, we were talking about graduation rates, and he said the graduation rate was just a statistic. And all I could think of, like as a parent, as a former teacher, was what is to a highly paid spokesperson a statistic? To a child is a diploma that is going to allow him or her to be able to go on in the world and have a shot at a bright future. And to say that test scores and graduation rates aren't important really, to me, signals that there is something amiss with the way that this whole industry is approaching educating these kids.
Okay, which brings us to the next question, which is, how is the state monitoring cyber charter schools? But first, I do want to give the number out, 888-477-9499. If you'd like to join the conversation, send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, or tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. If your child is being educated via online learning, a cyber charter. We'd love to hear from you and your thoughts. And if you have, if not, join the conversation as well if you've got something to pass along.
Can I say something?
Sure, David Hardy.
You know, I don't know who the lobbyist was, and I'm not going to defend him. But I do think that from the side of people who are supporting choice, they do find it a little interesting how people focus on the low performance of the people in cyber schools. There are far more kids in brick and mortar, traditional public schools failing at lower rates in those cyber school kids, or at the same rates, that nobody seems to want to help or nobody seems to want to talk about. Those are the kids who are coming to cyber schools looking for another option. And so some of them are finding success. Is it incremental success? I'd say yes. But to those parents who got that incremental success, they're happier, and there's no solution on the other side. So without that, to try and take away something that is giving some level of success, I think it's a mistake.
Yeah. Well, some of the statistics, though, David Hardy, you know, some kids are succeeding, and your son is obviously, you know, one of them.
Yep.
But I think the percent I thought in reading was, you know, 13%. I mean, it's really low. It's a small group of kids that seems to be succeeding. And Mackie, Raymond, if I'm getting these numbers wrong, jump right in. Relatively low compared to other organizations. So anyway, I did want to get to the question of how is the state looking at cyber charters? And Keystone Crossroads' Kevin McCrory on Thursday asked Governor Wolf about the Credo report on WHYY's Ask Governor Wolf. And here's what Governor Wolf had to say.
There's a lot of work to be done. And I think the recognition that we need cyber charter reform has broadened to the point that it's included many Republicans who in the past might have opposed it.
Are you saying they should be abolished?
I'm saying they should be reformed.
All right. So the governor said they should be reformed. He didn't hear about what those reforms might be. Mm-hmm. But Susan Specka, weigh in. What do you think?
So there are some cyber charter schools that are doing way better than others. And I think that those cyber charter schools need to continually develop better and better instructional methods to get students to achieve higher scores than they are. There are some cyber charter schools that have a 31% graduation rate where barely any students pass tests. Those schools just need to get shut down. Like, we need a really good cyber option for families in this state who need it, because it is really something that a lot of students benefit from.
So I'm hearing from you there's not enough state oversight.
And it's really difficult for the state to have oversight with the current law that we have with charter schools. So if the state were to try to take the charter away from one of these cyber charter schools, we know what happens. It would go and it would be appealed to the Charter Appeal Board, and we would be in legal limbo for 3 or 4 years. The Charter Appeal Board is it's a body that's with 5 members serving expired terms. They were appointed by Governor Corbett. You know, they're not bad people. They're probably fair-minded. But nevertheless, the system that is in place does not allow for any accountability for really, really low-performing cyber charter schools.
So they were appointed by Governor Corbett. Governor Wolf hasn't...
He has not. He has to go to the Senate to get approval from the Senate to be able to put any new appointees on. And I do not understand why that has not happened yet.
All right,
it's
David.
Something that needs to happen.
Well, the city of Chester has a low... The Chester School District has a lower... school performance profile, the state measurement, than the cyber schools. They are on average lower than the cyber schools. They tried to take Chester, and Chester fought back. They said, we want our schools. Nobody's saying, why are they holding on to those things that are underserving people? You know, if we're going to do it, we need to do it for all the failing schools.
So you don't think cyber schools, that the state should zero in on cyber charter schools? You're not okay with the situation, you think?
I'm saying that I think that we don't know enough about who's there. We need to study that. We need to study the success and the failures a little better. But also, we need to be fair about, if we're talking about bad schools, let's just talk about bad schools, because there's a lot more bad brick-and-mortar schools. In Philadelphia, there are 89 Philadelphia public schools that score lower than the median for cyber schools. And that's over 40% of the schools. Nobody's saying anything. I don't see a Credo report. I don't hear anybody in Harrisburg screaming about that. That is a problem, and all those kids are failing.
All right, let's get to the phones. Thurston in Philadelphia, welcome to Radio Times.
Having me. It's so nice to be on the air with you. I'm a public school teacher in the city of Philadelphia, and I hope no one hears this and fusses at me for saying, but I'm just going to be transparent. I'm the father of four children here in the city limits. One of them is too young for school. The other three are school age. One is at a charter school in the city, and the other two are at a cyber charter school. And based on what I've seen in my classroom, and I'm not a bad teacher. I'm a good teacher, and I literally pour my heart into my students every day and give them my best. But just the situations that are taking place in the building, in the neighborhoods, and in the surroundings, there are a lot of challenges that are preventing students from reaching their highest level in the brick-and-mortar schools here in Philadelphia, just like was just said. And it's not a problem in the whole district. But there are a lot of schools here that are, you know, kind of struggling. And I've got to say, based on the growth, development, and achievement I've seen out of my two cyber school students, they are by far outperforming most of the public school students I've encountered in the city of Philadelphia. I've got a rising 12th grader and a rising 8th grader. And they do well on their state tests. My 12th grader did well on his SAT and his PSAT and his ACT and his ASVAB. And, I'm glad that I have them where they are. And Pennsylvania Leadership Academy Charter School is doing a great job with all the students I've encountered that are using their program.
Thurston, we're so glad you called into Radio Times. I think you're speaking to David's point here. Let me do a quick station ID. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan. This is Radio Times on WHYY in Philadelphia. Mackie Raymond of Stanford University, what do you think? Do we need to not just focus on these cyber schools and look at all schools across the board?
Well, I think that David has exactly the right answer, is that, you know, it's not okay to be pro or con charter schools or cyber schools, you know, sort of categorically. What we want is we want great schools for all kids. And so if that's the standard that we aspire to, then any underperforming school ought to be under review and under aggressive intervention. That is exactly the position that Credo takes. And just to round back to something that David said, we actually do call out the underperformance of traditional public schools in district settings. We've just released reports all across the country looking at what happens in a variety of urban neighborhoods, urban communities, and we have produced very clear signals that where the district schools are underperforming, you know, we've been very transparent about how much of a problem there is, and we have made sure that stakeholders have received that information so that they can act upon it.
All right, let's go to go ahead, Mackie. I'm sorry.
I'm finished. That's fine.
Let's go to King of Prussia now and Dr. Conti. Welcome to Radio Times.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to dispute a couple of comments that were made by Ms. Sticca. As the CEO of the Agora Cyber Charter School here in King of Prussia, I just want to clarify that my students, I've got 6,000 students in my school, and 85% of them are in live classes every day with Pennsylvania certified teachers who, I might add, are PSEA members. So this notion that kids are sitting at home on islands doing this work on their own is just simply not true. I would also dispute the fact that cyber charter schools are not places for children who have mental health issues. Agora is a school. Actually, Agora is the first trauma certified online school in the nation. So we recognize that kids come to us many times with trauma. That's why they come to us. And we are absolutely capable of dealing with those situations. We have social workers on staff. We have psychologists on staff. We have 23 school counselors on staff. So this notion that we are not we're not set up to handle these kinds of things is just simply not true.
Well, Dr. Conti, before Susan responds, what do you think of the Credo report? I mean, remarkably weaker growth in reading and math among cyber charter students in Pennsylvania.
Well, I don't dispute the findings. I think they are what they are. However, what I would say is that many times, and this people tend to forget that when students come to us, they're already sometimes 1, 2, 3 or more years behind their learning when they even walk through our door. So it takes a significant amount of time to get these kids back to where they should be. We measure growth because that's what we believe is important. If we can move kids at least 1 year every year that they're with us, we believe we've done a great job. Because these kids are coming to us very behind because they're often disenfranchised in their home districts. Many times these are special education students who aren't getting the services that they need. And they come to us because we can provide those things for them.
So when these kids graduate, then let me just jump. We're running short on time. I'm very sorry. When they graduate, then are you confident that they are on par with their peers in brick and mortar schools when they're walking?
Absolutely. Okay. We just had our commencement ceremonies. Probably 90% of the kids that graduated carried a 3.0 or better.
Dr. Connie, I've only got about 30 seconds. I do want to give Susan a chance to respond before we go to the break. I'm sorry about that. Thanks.
So, you know, I applaud Agora for having trauma-informed education. I think that's wonderful. I guess the question is, do all cyber charters have that? And if they don't, then maybe that's something that needs to be improved. And also, Agora has a 45% graduation rate. And so I think, again, we're looking at good for the students who graduate, good for the students who do well in that school. What is going on with a lot of the students, the majority of students who are in cyber schools who are not graduating and who are not achieving? And those are the questions that we need to deep dig into. And those are the reforms that need to be made so that we can ensure that we're going to have a much higher rate of success among cyber students.
Dr. Connie, are you comfortable hanging out with us for a few minutes after the break?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll get back to you in just a moment. We are talking about cyber charters. Just have a few more follow-up questions. Cyber charter schools in Pennsylvania, the new report out of Stanford University shows that many kids are just not doing as well in reading as math as their peers do in brick and mortar schools. And we are talking about it this hour on Radio Time. Stay with us. This is WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan in for Marty Moskowane today. We are looking at cyber charter schools in Pennsylvania and the new Credo report out of Stanford University, which shows that among these students overall, there has been remarkably weaker growth in reading and math. Our guests this hour, David Hardy of Excellent Schools PA, Susan Spica is with Education Voters PA, and Margaret Mackey Raymond is director of the Center for Research on Education Outcomes at Stanford University. Also, just for another moment or so, we'll have Dr. Connie of the Agora Charter School out of King of Prussia. I guess that's where the line is. And he's just going to stay on with us for another moment or so just to finish up a line of thought that we'd started before the break. So, Dr. Connie, when I think the graduation rate was at 45% at Agora, how do you flag students who are not moving along toward their diploma? How do you handle that? How do you reroute them? How do you get them help?
Well, we've fully implemented the MTSS system, which is the multi-tiered system of supports, which we use to identify students very early when we get them into our school. So we identify weaknesses very quickly. We use Child Find. We move them up the tiers for more intensive services. We provide tutoring services, and this is an entire wraparound services that we provide for our students. So again, I can't speak for every cyber charter school operator, but I can certainly speak for myself as that this school works very, very hard to serve our kids, and I'm very proud of the work we do. And look, the numbers, the statistics are what the statistics are. I own my test scores. I own my graduation rate. But at the same time, so I feel like many times we're swimming upstream with some of the ways that students come to us because they are so far behind.
I'm just going to jump in because we are running a little short on time. But thank you so much for staying with us through the break, and we appreciate your call into Radio Times.
It was my pleasure. Thank you very much for taking it. I appreciate that.
Sure. David Hardy?
I was going to say, sometimes numbers can be misleading. And, you know, a 45% graduation rate doesn't look that good. But I see people that have 60 and 70% graduation rates that they got them by using credit recovery that really didn't, really wasn't a real graduation. It really didn't, wasn't real progress.
But if numbers are misleading or can be misleading, how then do we measure whether a school is doing the job?
Well, let's look at the state university system. Okay, if you look at the state university systems, 14 of them, only three of them are selective colleges. The rest of them are least selective. That's what they get ranked. That's the lowest ranking. Why is that? Because they're open to more people. They have to open themselves to more people. They give more opportunity. They are good colleges. I would send anybody to a state university college in Pennsylvania because I think they're good. But the fact is, the pool might be different. A pool affects results. That doesn't mean anything about the process. It means something about the pool.
Yeah.
That's why I say we have to look at the pool widely and understand that before we start condemning these people.
Mackie Raymond, you want to weigh in?
Yes, thanks for giving me the option. So, David, I hear what you're saying, but the whole idea about charter schools to begin with, whether they're brick or mortar or cyber, is that you're given flexibility to design programs that are going to be effective with the students that you serve. You get an entire set of years to try to figure that out. And my question continues to be, if you know that your kids are coming to you in a particularly dire circumstance, then why are not more cyber charters organizing around identifying, intervening, onboarding successfully? These are the kinds of practices that they were intended to innovate on and bring forward, not just that they're delivering instruction through digital media.
Well, you know, I would agree with you there. I'd like to know that. One of the things that I find very frustrating is someone who worked in this charter industry here since it started in Pennsylvania and has founded a school, is that we don't get any kind of peer-to-peer kind of review so that we could look at things that work and take those back to the school district. I don't see anything from charter schools that are going back to the school district, and I don't see them particularly interested in how we do things. It's supposed to be a laboratory. They don't want to see the experiments. They don't want to see the results. I think that's something that really should happen. I think it would help everybody.
And are the standards across the state the same for cyber charter schools? Do we know?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I think we don't know. And I think the results show that, you know, that these charter schools are doing wildly different things. They have wildly different attendance policies. You know, they're all just different. But I guess I go back to the idea of this was an experiment. This may have been an experiment when these started out. When we have almost 35,000 students in these classrooms, this is no longer an experiment. This is having a significant impact on children, and it's having an impact on taxpayers and on regular public schools, because this is Pennsylvania taxpayers spend nearly $500 million a year in tuition to cyber charter schools. And we know when we look at the tuition rates that we know it costs about $5,000 a year to educate a kid at home on a computer with all the bells and whistles all around that. We're spending $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a student to send them to cyber charter schools. And that money doesn't just appear out of thin air. That money comes out of local school districts. So people are paying higher property taxes to pay cyber charter tuition bills. Students in school districts are having hundreds of millions of dollars of services removed from their schools. And these are the results that we get.
Well, which begs the question, if you're not paying for heat and the school cafeteria and et cetera, that comes with a brick and mortar school, what are you paying for? If you're paying the same per head for a child in a cyber charter,
you're not. You get less when you have a charter school. You don't get the same thing as the school district gets. They get to deduct their overhead. Most charter schools are working about 65% of the per student allocation for their school district. So it's not the same money.
Oh, my understanding was that it was.
I would like to jump in. There are certain deductions. So, for example, charter schools do not get a cut of transportation funding because school districts provide transportation for students to charter schools. So when the charter school doesn't provide a certain service, the school district doesn't give them a cut of their own money for that service. So they do, charter schools do get less. But in terms of the instructional money and that, it's about equal. But I guess, you know, we see this gross waste of money from cyber charter schools. You know, in 3 years, cyber charter schools in Pennsylvania spent $21 million on advertising. We saw the fraud of Trombetta with PA Cyber, where he bought himself, you know, siphoned off $8 million. Nobody even missed it because there was so much money in his cyber charter school that it didn't even... Nobody even knew it was gone, and he bought himself an airplane, got his girlfriend a vacation house, got his mom a vacation house.
Lack of oversight.
And a glut of money that is being sent to cyber charter schools, and the result that we get back is that students are not achieving. And then students in our school buildings are going without because they're... All of these resources are being sent to cyber charter schools. So this is a morally bankrupt and unsustainable system that needs to be fixed.
Mackie Raymond, I know you are in a remote location. Feel free to jump in at any time if you want to add to the conversation.
Well, I do think that there's a question about oversight for any schools that are given the opportunity to go so far off the rails as the examples that were just mentioned. But what I would say is that the fundamental bargain about charter schools is that they are supposed to be given flexibility from the kind of oversight that they now seem to want, people want to impose on them. But I'm not sure that that's the right answer. I actually think the answer is a charter holder has the opportunity to demonstrate that they're working well. If there's indications that they're on a path of improvement, they should be given that opportunity. But if they're not, the contract that they signed, the deal that they took was, you help kids learn or we shut you down. And I'm concerned about the number of schools in charter land and otherwise that year after year after year do not produce results for kids, actively harm those students' future, and face no real accountability.
Let's get to what's happening.
In favor of monitoring.
Let's get to what's going on in Harrisburg. With that in mind, Bernie O'Neill is a former Republican representative from Bucks County, and in a recent op-ed in the Enquirer, took issue with legislation just passed by the State House that he says does not address charter school funding reform. He says two bills allow them to expand without what he calls adequate oversight. David Hardy, is that your perspective or no?
No.
So what's going on in Harrisburg? To help or hinder or not do much?
Or watching those bills, they seem to be okay. But what I find very interesting is when people talk about a moral issue about a cyber school, there's 30,000 kids in cyber schools. There's 96,000 kids in Philadelphia, where we're sitting right now, who are in poor performing schools. And we don't have an answer for that. And the ones that escaped to go to cyber schools, okay, maybe all of them aren't doing great, but they were looking for an option and they found one. If we don't fix the source of the problem, poor performing schools is what drives people to other options. Fix the schools, you won't have that problem.
To the phones we go. Caroline in Philadelphia, you are live with us on Radio Times. Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment for a statement that was made earlier about charter schools and cyber charter schools not offering students the appropriate instructional time in both math and reading. And I just wanted to say that the particular school that I'm employed with, our times always exceed the state minimum mandate in the charter school law. So it's not always that everybody is doing something there are pockets of people in charter schools that are doing the things that they should be and exceeding what the law is telling us that we have to do. So we provide our students more instruction than what the state is asking us to do as a minimum.
All right. Thank you so much for the call to Radio Times, Caroline. I guess, again, the question is whether there is a standard across the state for cyber school operation. Very quickly, some school districts, Carbondale is one, developing their own cyber programs to save money. Some critics are saying these local school district cyber charter programs or cyber programs aren't as good as they could be. Susan.
I can speak to that. I'm the vice president of the school board in Shippensburg. And so 4 years ago, we decided that we were going to do our own in-house cyber charter school. We had 125 students who were out at the out-of-district cyber charters. And so last year, we hired two teachers who can be in the buildings to provide in-building support for students. And students can also, if they're part of our in-house cyber school, they can be part of the music program during the day. They can come in and take art classes and physics classes. So we have actually decreased our students in out-of-district placements from 125 to 76 students. Families are thrilled with this program, especially families of kids with disabilities whose kids can come in and get services that they were not able to get effectively. And so I think that, but we had to pony up a couple hundred thousand dollars to hire two teachers who are going to be able to do this. And in some school districts, when you're spending, $2-3 million a year in cyber school tuition, you don't have the money to do that. So we made that investment and we were able to. And I guess I just want to go back to like Philadelphia schools and talking about how can we fix those schools? You know, if every school could have an extra counselor, an extra nurse, and if you could reopen the libraries in every school building, imagine the impact that that would have on children. Like, it breaks my heart that there are young children in Philadelphia who go to schools that don't have libraries.
They fixed that problem. They announced it. They fixed that problem.
Well, they fixed it. So there's enough money in the budget for libraries, counselor. I mean,
are
the schools fully staffed?
They say they are.
My point is that we are spending a lot of money on cyber charter schools that's not being spent educating kids. It's going to pay CEOs. It's going to shareholder profits. And if that money were redirected back to schools, we could be making a lot of progress in the buildings that you're talking about.
I need to pause for station ID. This is WHYY in Philadelphia. Okay. So very quickly, as we wrap up the hour, let's talk about, again, what you perceive the need for reform to be, if at all. Mackie, let's start with you. Mackie Raymond.
Yes, thank you. So we are interested in seeing greater intervention with the schools that are underperforming, and we make no distinction about that need being cyber charter, brick-and-mortar charter, or traditional public schools.
All right. David?
I agree with Mackie. I think we should be intervening on schools that don't work, regardless of sector, and we should understand why people are sending their people to schools that some people perceive as underfunding. But I want to say one other thing.
Sure.
This is about money. This is about money. And the people who push this are people who run school districts and people who are in teachers' unions. When you look at who's pushing this agenda, that's the people who are pushing it. When you look at, Mackie just said they did a study on brick-and-mortar schools and failing. We didn't have a program about that. Everybody just knows it happens and they accept it. This push is specifically about money that the traditional school district feels like it's being taken away from them, but it's serving parents and what they want.
And Susan, we'll give you the last word.
And so I think if we want to be able to serve every child in Pennsylvania, we need to be able to have enough resources in every classroom to meet their needs. Mm-hmm. And so when we look in Philadelphia and we look in a lot of other, hundreds of school districts, kids don't have what they need. They don't have small class sizes. They don't have librarians. They don't have what they need. So we need adequate and equitable funding, and we can start improving this by fixing our cyber charter problem.
Susan Spickett, it was a pleasure. Thank you for
joining
us. Susan is Executive Director of Education Voters of PA. David Hardy as well. Thanks so much for being here with us today.
My pleasure.
David Hardy is Executive Director of Excellent Schools PA. And Mackie Raymond, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Mackie Raymond is director of Stanford University's Center for Research on Education Outcomes. Our engineer today was Al Banks. Our producers, Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, and Kelsey Hansen. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan. Great to have you along for Radio Times.